morning that God's blessed Jeff with. And we appreciate these songs and all that the Lord has done. Let us open our Bibles today to the book of Luke is where we'll be reading from. And I ask that you pray for us for just a few minutes of time, that God will just take His word and bless it. Give us the anointing that we need to be able to preach what He has laid upon our hearts, that it will go out, search out our hearts, show us where we need to make changes, and for those that would be lost and undone without the Lord, that you would see that you need Him more than you need anything else in this life. In the book of Luke, as we have made mention of, in the 14th chapter, if you'd like to turn over there with us and stand for the reading of God's Word today, let's go down to verse 16, reading down through and including verse 24. He says in verse 16, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out unto the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And stop reading there in that 24th verse, and you can be seated in the house of God. There is many different messages that we find in these readings of these scriptures that I've given to you today, but a few years ago, the Lord gave me a thought that I want to share with you today. In this simple text, no excuse for excuses. No excuse for excuses. And how many of us seem to be able to make up an excuse almost just at any time? Why we shouldn't do this or why we should do that? And oftentimes when we make an excuse, it won't hold water. Most of the time we make excuses and we try to blame others. We try to blame someone else or something else when in reality it is our own doing. It's our own fault. It's because we did not want to do something, or it's because we wanted to do something. And you can make an excuse. How many of you have ever made an excuse? Look around the house today as they hold up their hands. Excuses are easy to come up with, are they not? But the Lord said here that it was now ready. Everything was now ready. And it's time to go out and bring in all the friends, bring in all the people to this great supper that has been prepared. And as they went out, they began to bid people to come. They began to make excuses that one after another. The first one said, Have me excused because I bought a piece of land and I need to go see it. And my question is, how many of us would ever buy a piece of land first without going and seeing it? Then the other one said, I've bought five yoke of oxen and I need to go prove them. The question is, Debbie, how many of us would in the biblical day would have ever bought five oxen without knowing whether they could plow or not? You may have just bought something that was worthless. And then the other one said, I've just got married. I have a wife and I cannot come. The Lord is not asking him to divorce her. He's just saying, there's a supper. You ought to come to the supper. But yet he made an excuse that it's there in the scriptures why he could not come to this great supper that the Lord had provided for all of his friends. Excuses are easy to come up with. They're very easy to come up with. I've thought about this today, and I want to give these to you, that there's no excuse for anyone not being saved. No excuse. There's no excuse for anyone not being close to God. There's no excuse for anyone not being in church. And you say, well, there are excuses that the Lord knows about. And folks, I'm not here to make the excuses to make them good or to make them bad. The Lord knows all things. He knows what we can do and what we can't do. But how many of us, and you don't have to raise your hands, has ever made an excuse not to go to church, and then after church time we think, I should have went? You can come up with an excuse pretty easily. Yeah. And I think about this, and I said this before, and then I'll get on with our message, that I believe that the Lord works more miracles on Monday morning and Thursday morning than any other time of the week. Because people that are too sick, too tired, too worn out to go to church on Sunday make it to work on Monday. And those that can't go on Wednesday night, they're back at work on Thursday. So we need to be careful with our excuses, or God might take away our excuse and make it a reality. We need to be careful. The Bible tells us, as you pray, that there are many folks that make excuses. And oftentimes when they make these excuses, they try to blame somebody else. Anybody remember Adam and Eve back in the book of Genesis? When Adam tried to blame Eve, and Eve said it was the serpent. And the thing that came down to it is that nobody forced Adam and Eve to do what they did. They did it on their free accord. When folks begin to say, I make this excuse because that person made me do it, or that person forced me to do something, there is nobody that can force you to do anything that you do not want to do, including the devil. And folks use the devil, they blame the devil for so many things. And the Bible says that as we look through the excuses that was given real quickly, and then we'll get down to our message, that even men and women of God, that sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy for us to make excuses. You remember Aaron, while Moses was up on Mount Sinai, Aaron got with the folks, and because the folks wanted to have a golden calf, Aaron orchestrated that all of the gold would be brought, and they would melt it down, and they would make this calf. And as soon as Moses came down, Aaron began to blame the people. If he didn't want anything to do with it, he should have put them in their place at the start and said, this is not what God would have us to do. But instead, he said, this is what the people wanted. They wanted an image that they could worship like the images that we had back in Egypt, when all that they needed to do was just rely upon God. Moses was up there on the mountain. They could see the smoke ascending. They could hear the thunder and the lightning. They could see. They ought to have just stood and waited for God to come and speak to them. But instead they had to have something tangible that they could put their hands upon. Folks, God, I cannot touch Him with my natural hand, but I certainly have touched God this morning in this house. Also, the Bible says that there was those that, like Gideon, that said that, Lord, unless you give me a sign, I'm not going to do anything. His excuse was, I have to have a sign before I can do it. And folks, if we're not careful, we'll get back into the same mode as Gideon, that we'll say, Lord, I can't do anything until you help me. I can't do anything until you show me a sign. When the Lord is saying, you have my word. You have my promises. You have my spirit. What you ought to do is just do what I've asked you to do and stop making excuses why you can't today. And I'll confess this morning, it's so easy to blame everybody else why you're not doing, or why you are doing something that you ought not be doing. Does that make sense? That's a lot of words. The Bible also tells us about a man that had leprosy. And the woman, the little maiden, told him that if he could just get hold of the God, the prophet of the God of Israel, that she knew that everything would be all right, that he would be recovered of his leprosy. And after he received the instructions of what he needed to do to be recovery of this leprosy, he told him to go down and to wash or to dip in the river of Jordan. And he began to make excuses why he could not do that. I've traveled all this distance and there are better rivers back in my homeland than this river Jordan. And you want me to go down here and dip 7 times in this river instead of those rivers back in my homeland? And he was ready to pack up and go back to the house. Folks, instead of us questioning what God has told us to do, we ought to just move when God says move. And if He tells us to go down in the nastiest river there is in the land and to dip 7 times in order to recover of the leprosy, what we ought to do is go down into Jordan, dip 7 times, faith believing that the 7th time when we come up, everything is going to be all right and we're going to be made whole because we did what God told us to. God will help us if we'll stop making excuses. The Bible also talks about Jeremiah when the Lord told him to go to his people. He says, I can't go. I am but a child. Who is going to listen to me? Who's going to pay attention to me when I am so young and I'm not experienced like these elders are? Folks, it doesn't matter what our age is. When God lays it upon our hearts to do something, we ought to do it and let God get the glory and the honor out of it. And just like so many others that have made excuses, you remember back in, if I can go back for just a minute, back in the Bible to 1 Kings when Elijah was there. Elijah come to him. And he said, he threw his mantle upon him and he says, you come and be my, go with me, if I can paraphrase it like this, and God is going to use you for great things. He said, I'll go, but first, anytime God tells us to do something and we put a but in there, we have just taken God right out of it. He says, but first, let me go and kiss my mother and my father goodbye. What he should have done is when the man of God said, come with me, he should have got up and moved. Sometimes, folks, when God speaks to us, instead of us making excuses, what we need to do is get up and move because the Lord has told us to. My question this morning is for each and every one of us. How many of us today would like to be a better Christian than what we are? Help me as I preach this morning. How many of us would like to be closer to God than what we are? And then today, how many of you that are lost that would like to be saved, but you still, the devil give you excuse after excuse why you should not get saved? When I talked with Harold the other Saturday, and he was telling me about all the things that, when he told me about that the Lord had saved him, I said, Harold, it was the easiest thing you ever did, wasn't it? And he said, yes, there's no reason for us not to be close to God. If we truly want to be close to God, we can be close to God. It's what we want to do. You say, well, I would be close, but my job, the kids, the house, everything I do takes away from my time with God, and I can't get close to God. God knows that there's all kinds of things that we have to do in this world. But if we truly want to be close to God, we will be close to God. We need to stop making excuses and just find a way to get close to God. Just like these that are lost today. Instead of you making an excuse that this is not the Sunday, I'll wait until a special day, or I'll wait till the crowd is smaller, or I'll wait till the devil doesn't bother me as much as he is right now. There will never be a time that the devil is not going to give you an excuse not to get right with God. There'll never be a time that the devil is going to tell you today is a good day for you to get saved or for you to get right with the Lord. It's a good day for you to rededicate your life and get back to serving God like you know that you ought to, because every one of us that have children and grandchildren, they are watching our lives, they're seeing what we do, and they're fashioning their lives based upon our life. And folks, there's a lot of things that I've done wrong in my lifetime. I'll confess this morning, Brother Rob. But there's one thing I'm trying my best to do, is take away the excuses that the devil can give to all of us and saying, Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you today. We're going to lift up your name. We're going to go to church. We're going to raise the kids right. We're going to take the grandkids to church. We're going to raise them right. And folks, if we can say, well, mom and dad don't take them, so it's their own fault. Folks, it is a soul that is in a balance, and we are accountable to tell them about Jesus Christ today. Some folks might say, well, it's too hard. I have to get up earlier. There's more work that's involved in it. I have to travel farther. There is nothing that is compared to the price of one soul making it into heaven compared to the work that we would have to do here. Folks, we ought to be willing to travel extra miles to try to get our people right with God instead of making excuses why they're not right with God. And some folks might even say this, well, Pastor, you don't know how I've been hurt in other churches. You don't know how I've been hurt by other folks that claim that they are Christians. Don't allow the devil to use another church. Don't allow him to use somebody that's supposed to be a child of God. Because let me tell you, a children of God, when they're out of fellowship with God, they are some of the meanest people there is upon the face of this earth. Amen? Amen. You can say amen today. And churches, folks, there's always going to be somebody that's going to hurt your feelings. But we ought not allow that to stop us from worshiping God and using it as an excuse to stay at the house. Some of these women that's here with us this morning, I commend them and I praise God for them because they could use the excuse that my husband stays home, so I'll stay home. Some of them could use the excuse, we got folks here today that their loved one is homesick. And actually they could say, I need to be there to try to take care of them. But instead of using that as an excuse, their hearts was, I'd like to go to church this morning because I need a blessing from the Lord. And folks, when you need a blessing from the Lord, it doesn't matter where you're at. You're not going to receive what you need like you would if you went to the house of God and asked the people to pray for you, ask people to lift you up, and even ask God to forgive you and to help you and restore you. And for you that are lost, that God will just save you by His marvelous grace. We need to stop using excuses. How many of you got chores at the house that you just keep putting off? You find an excuse not to do them. Amen? There are things that I'll do instead of doing what I should be doing, and I'll work twice as hard on that because it's something that I might like to do a little bit better than what I really am facing. We'll do everything else and leave that to last. Becky's been on me and the boys for 3 weeks to move a chest of drawers. We've done everything at the house but move that chest of drawers. We use it as an excuse. I've got this to do and I've got that. And there's too much junk in the way. I can't get to it. And there's too many steps to climb. You see the little analogy? We can find an excuse for everything we do or we don't do. And we don't have to look hard. How many of you know excuses are easy to come by? They're easy to come by. But there's no excuse for excuses today. We need to put it outside of us, especially when it comes to God and serving Him and getting our lives right. There's no excuse for it. People say, well, pray for me, Pastor, that I might be closer to God. If we would just put the excuses away from us, we wouldn't have to have the pastor to pray for us. We could pray for ourselves. Yeah. Amen? You say, well, this is Sunday morning, Roger. You want us to come back tonight? I hope you don't have no excuse not to come back tonight. People say, well, I know he's going to preach on this, and tonight when I don't come in, he'll wonder what kind of excuse I've got for not being here. Now, there's some of you that can't be here. But there's some of you that have no excuse not to be in the house of the Lord. And you say, oh, it gets quiet in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning when you start preaching about excuses. But you know what? If we're not careful, God might just take our excuse away from us. There's times that And I know these are few and far in between, and I'm not perfect, and I'm not bragging on Roger, but there's few and far times that I have used an excuse not to go to church. Because here's my greatest fear, is that if I complain about my back hurting, God just might make it to where I'm up on my back full time. Some folks that use the kids as an excuse, God could take the kids away. Be careful what you use as an excuse. God will just take it away from you. Some of us that say, well, when this happens in my life, then all my excuses will be gone and then I'll start living right for God. I used to think the same thing when I was younger, that there would come a day, maybe when I hit 50, that or 40 or 50, that life wouldn't be as complex and things wouldn't be as hard and my excuses would start to go down. But folks, let me get a witness this morning in the house of God. As we get older, it seems like the excuses just grow instead of going away. Do they not? And some of you that are older than I am, say amen. They just keep mounting. They grow and they grow. There's never going to be a time that the devil is going to leave you alone to get right with God and to do the things that you know you ought to be doing. The devil's always going to come against you. For those of you that know you need to get right, some of you have been putting it off for days, weeks, months, and some even years, that you know that you need to get right with God. And you just use week after week after week, you use excuses. The greatest excuse is I've got to work. And God knows we all have to work to provide for our families. He even said it like this, that a man that doesn't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel and has already denied the faith. God knows that. But I said this many years ago in a message. God also knows that there's a thin line between need and greed. That we keep putting it in the coffers, and all the while our health and our spirituality is decreasing while we're trying to build up everything else. And I heard a preacher say it like this years ago, that in our youth we spend all of our time and our health trying to make wealth. And then in our old age we spend all of our wealth trying to get our health back. What we ought to do is just trust in the Lord. God, you know my need. You said you'd never let one of your children go hungry or naked. You'd never be let your children be thirsty. Has not God provided everything we've ever needed in our lifetime? Amen. He's been good to us this morning. Amen. But yet we make excuse after excuse. Even those that are lost, God has been good to you, and you still make excuse why you're not saved. Let me close with this morning. As it come down to these folks that I gave you that were making example, the Lord said, okay, if they won't come, it's not going to stop me from having my supper. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, then go out into the streets and bid those that are there. He said, go into the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Those that originally was not invited, they won't make an excuse. He said, and you know why they won't make an excuse? They've got nothing else to do. They've got nowhere else to go. They've got nobody else that will look after them. You go out to them and they will come and be in my house for this supper. And sure enough, when the servant went out there and bid them, here came all these folks that were blind, the poor, the maimed, the halt. They came in and they sat down at a table that they should not have been at, but because others made excuses, they were able to sit down and feast with the master of the house. Folks, if I could put this in a spiritual analogy today, you and I was not invited at the first setting of the supper. We was the outcast, but those that were invited made excuse after excuse after excuse why they could not come. And you know what the Lord did? He didn't say, well, cancel the supper. No, sir. He said, then you go out into these streets and you invite those that are poor. Anybody in that class was in that classification. He said, you go out to the poor, the maimed, the blind. Go out to those that wasn't bidden, to those that don't deserve it, and you invite them to come.
come. I'm glad that somebody made an excuse today that I didn't have part of the kingdom of God, but because the first fruits made an excuse, folks, God sent the invitation to you and I that did not deserve to get to go. I'm shouting inside because I know that when this life is over with, I'm going to a supper of all suppers that I should not have been able to go to. But because folks made excuse not to come, I was invited to come. Hallelujah. I get to go because they made excuses and I was sitting out there and didn't even know a supper was taking place. But thank God the servant came by. People say, well, who was the servant? It was the Holy Spirit. Spirit that knocked upon my heart's door and said, you can come and be part of it. And sure enough, I believe that we're living in this last day that when he said after this, there was still room. There is still room in the house of God for you today and for you and for all of us. He said, okay, since there's more room, go back out and go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Today, the Lord is still trying to get His house filled. Can I preach this morning for a few minutes? I believe it like this. When God made heaven, He made it big enough that every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born from Adam's time until the end time could go to heaven. He made it big enough that all of us could feast at that supper today. But men and women and young men and women have rejected God. And folks, hell is not a supper, it's a place of torments. Folks that are there, and Rob, get us a song. Folks that are there, I thought about this and I want to share it with you. I have no biblical example to share with you today about this, but I believe that folks in hell are not using excuses why they're there. You know what I believe they're saying? They're going back and reflecting upon that time that they was in the house of God and the invitation came to them and they rejected it. They're not saying it was because of this one being there. They're not saying because it was at the wrong church or the wrong day or the wrong city. What they're saying is, I can't blame anybody for me being here. It's my own fault. It's my fault. Look what the rich man said. He, after he found out he couldn't get out of there, he said, okay, I'm here because of what I did, but will you send somebody back to warn my brother not to come to this awful place? He didn't say to go back and tell them to make an excuse of why they're not safe. He said, tell them, don't come here. This is not a good place today. We need to stop making excuses and start doing what we know in our hearts is right with God today. People say, well, how can I do that? What you need to do is just find an altar of grace that you can go to and you can pray. See, if we look around, and I'm going to close. If we look around, we can find every reason in the world or every excuse in the world, Sister Shirley, of why we can't go to the house of God. If anybody has an excuse, Shirley's had one for many years. Her back, her neck is so bad, deteriorated, and she wouldn't even have the strength to get up and go. But you know what? There's something down on the inside that even when I don't feel like it, Sister Ruby, there's something down on the inside that says it's the time of worship. I need to head to the house of God. No excuse. I could stay home. And folks, you could stay home. We could make all kinds of excuses. We can make excuses why we're not living close. We can make excuses why we're not there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Or why we're there 1 week and then we're gone for weeks at a time. Folks, you can. Every one of us can make an excuse. You know what they do with pastors that make too many excuses? They fire them. Amen? You might as well say amen. You know what? And I'm reaching my heart today. I've never heard where a church member was fired. All they got to do is come every once in a while and they keep them in full fellowship. You're saying, Roger, are you advocating that we should fire some members? No, that's not our place. God will get their attention. He'll take the excuse right away from them. Or, God will say, okay, you want to use that excuse? I'll let you use it. Amen. Folks that can't go, and I'm going to close this morning. Folks that can't come and pray because they think about something that's happening next week or next month and they don't want to be a hypocrite. Folks, there is always going to be something that the devil is offering you. I like it when people, Sister Joan and I talked about this the other day after church. I like it when people look at me and say, you don't go here and you can't come to this because of the drinks or because of the things that they're serving and the things that's going on. They say that's a terrible excuse that you can't come and be with us. I say to them, it's a terrible excuse that you think you have to have that stuff in order to have a good time. You can have a good time if your heart is right with God. You don't need all the things that the devil is offering you if you just get right with God. People say, well, I've got to be sociable. I got to fit in. I have never fit in. When I was growing up, we was too poor. Everybody made fun of us because we couldn't dress like they do. Because we couldn't eat like they do. We didn't live in the houses like they did. We didn't drive cars like they did. They made fun of us. But you know what? That didn't give me an excuse not to keep going. I still had to get up, pull up my britches, and go. All of our life, we have been, every one of us has been made fun of over something in our lifetime. We could use that as an excuse just to sit down and say, I stop. I'm not going to socialize. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do anything but work, eat, and sleep. And the Bible says that you have that right. But the Bible also says that there'll come a day that you'll look back over your life and say, where did it go? What did I do? All those things I thought was important now don't seem so important. They're all gone. The things I used to use as an excuse not to go to. Look at how good it is. I've known people and I'll close with this. When I was younger, we was drugged to church every time the doors was open. And I, like some of you, said, when I get old enough, I can't wait till I get old enough. Because then I'll just go to church every once in a while, whenever I feel like it. Be careful what you say, because God does hear. You know what God said, Sister Villa? I'll fix him. I'll save him. And then I'll make him a preacher. And then I'll make him a pastor. And then every time the door is open, you know where he'll have to be? Right there at the house of God. And folks, I have no excuse for not being here. In fact, I don't even want to try to come up with an excuse not to be in the house of the Lord. I would rather be here than anywhere else that I know of. When God's people are praying and the Spirit is moving, there is no better place. And folks, let me tell you this as they get ready to sing. I found out, Brother Chad, that when I allowed the Lord to move all those excuses that the devil was giving to me, but I was lost and the Lord was dealing with my heart, the devil gave me all kinds of excuses. He said, this ain't the day. Wait till Wednesday. Wait till Saturday night. Wait till Sunday morning. Wait till Sunday night. He gave us an excuse. He said, what about all these fellows that you're sitting around? Won't they laugh at you? But after I got my heart set upon the Word of the Lord and I decided I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ, regardless what everybody else says, I found out this. Every excuse that I used wasn't worth a hill of beans. Those that I thought would laugh at me were crying and rejoicing just like I was. Those that folks that people you work with, the people that you live around, you're never going to please everybody. So what you ought to do is just please yourself and God, knowing that your soul is happy and everything else will be happy. Would you stand while they sing this morning? There's no excuse for excuses. Especially you that are lost. To you that are church members, no excuse not to be close to God. You say, well, I've been hurt too many times. The world hurts us also, but we keep on going. People at work, on the job, they say all kinds of things against you.
but you still keep going back to work. You that are lost, you say, well, I plan on getting saved. I know I need to. But today I offer up another excuse why I can't. Let me tell you, one day your time is going to come to an end. All your excuses will be gone. And you'll stand there and hear the sad words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. No excuse not to make heaven your permanent home. No excuse not to be close to God. No excuse not to be found in the house of the Lord. I ask you today, while they sing yet one more verse, why don't you just get right with God? Let God take care of your heart. And if you allow God to take care of your heart, everything else will be all right. God will make a way some way or another. If we'll just put these excuses behind us. Yes. Open your heart this morning. Allow Jesus to come in. Yes. Come on home. Yes. Lord, bless you this morning. Lord, help us not to use the excuse anymore. For the singers, when He lays it upon your heart, and you say, well, they've already had a lot of songs, or I can't sing like that one. When God lays something upon your heart, you ought not make an excuse for not doing it. For those that have a testimony, and God laid it upon your heart to testify, and you say, well, the service has already been lengthy, I'll just come back tonight and testify. You know what you'll find out tonight? You might speak some words, but you'll not be testifying the way that God wanted you to in the morning service. Others that say, well, I really should go tonight. I should go this morning, but you know, that little three-letter word gets us in so much trouble. I know I should, but you're robbing yourself of the joys that God wants you to have. And you can't blame anybody else. Tonight we're having a special service, and I invited everybody to come back and be with us this evening. Now I do know that there are some of you. How many of you, when you have to miss church, it really bothers you? Would you raise your hands? You know, this message wasn't for you. Because when I miss church, it seems like, even when we don't have a service on a Sunday evening, it seems like Sunday is the longest day. It seems like it's almost like double. And all you do is just piddle around, and there's nothing really on TV. And you end up, if you're like me, I get bored. And once I get bored, I start opening the refrigerator door. And when I start doing that, I'm not doing myself any justice. Because oftentimes, Sister Mary, I just open the door and I just eat to be eating. I don't really want it. I'm just there. It's like, what are you doing here again? Folks, we ought to just come to the house of the Lord and be happy with God. And then we won't have to worry about all those other things. And for those of you that need to get right, You keep making excuses, and one day you're going to find yourself right at the point of death. And you'll look back, and your regret will be all the time that you made excuses instead of being where you know that you should have been. There's no excuse for an excuse. God bless you. I pray that you got something from the message. Remember our service tonight. We're going to be having Stone Lake here with us and in our youth service. And our son Brandon's going to be here to preach tonight. Larry asked me to have him come and preach for us. And we're looking forward to a good time in the house of God this evening. Anybody got anything, Jim?
Well, Roger, I'd like to share with the church twice that I can remember of making up an excuse not to come to church. And the results of it were not very pretty. I was working some ground in the back of our place up in Blanchester. And I got the ground all worked up and it was ready to plant. And we were supposed to get rain that night. So Lola Dean came out and told me that I needed to come in and get ready for church. And I said, you know what, I think I'll just skip tonight and get this seed in the ground so that when it rains, it'll take hold. Well, I did that, got the seed in the ground, it rained that night, and not one blade of grass came out. It's the truth, right, Lola Dean? And the second time, I was looking at a brand new truck. I wanted to buy a new truck. And the negotiations got a little bit long, and I bought the truck, and it was like 8 o'clock or so before I got finished with it. And I missed church. I chose to buy this truck instead of going to church that night. When I got home, an hour and 15 minutes from the time I left there, that truck was a wreck. Here coming on the side of it and tore the whole side of it up. I had an hour and 15 minutes. And that's the kind of things that happens when you put the things of this world ahead of what God wants you to do. God knew I needed him to be in church those two Wednesday nights. And I chose not to go to church. And that's the consequence of my choice that I made. And that doesn't happen anymore.
Every one of us, some folks might say that's just coincidence, those things happen. Every one of us knows those events, and you will not convince us that it wasn't God that said, all right, I'll give you attention.
Brother, just real quick, I want to say, let's pray for, ask the church to pray for me that, like King David said, that I was glad when we said it. That he put that in me continuously.
Amen. God bless you. Everyone have a good afternoon. Something to eat.